You're listening to
Unite 2011
with James Preston.
Who is not from Fusion regularly? Over here, Riley doesn't put her hand up. Over here, where are you girls from? You don't go to youth. Okay, cool. From Dubai? No ways. Come on. Wow. She came just for Unite. Yeah. And then it's Christian, right? Giannis, sorry. Where did I get Christian from? Close. Yeah, that's why. That's why. You are a Christian. Where are you from, Giannis? Cogs. Good game, bro. And Living Word. Yes. Let's give it up for the dudes that aren't from Fusion. Yeah. All right, you guys ready for the second session? Did you understand what I was saying in that first session? Any questions? Anyone want to ask any questions? No. Okay. You're all good. Oh, good. I'm so glad. Because I felt like, geez, I don't even know if you guys are getting what I'm saying. Okay, so we read that scripture, Romans 4:13, which said that it wasn't through the law that Abraham received the promise that he would be an heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith, right? And then I went into what that actually means, that Jesus wants us to make disciples of all nations. He literally wants us to rule the world. That's what God has called you to. I want to read you something very quickly. This comes from a book written by Banning Liebscher of Bethel Church in California. It's called Jesus Culture. I just want to read you this very quickly. This is inarguably the greatest hour in history. And you are invited to participate in the most monumental move of God the world has ever seen. The Lord wants the hearts of people across the earth, and He is awakening His church to His desire. I dream of entire cities and nations being saturated and transformed by the presence of God. And I am devoted to seeing an army of healing revivalists raised up who demonstrate the kingdom of God by releasing signs, wonders, and miracles. The Lord is restoring the supernatural to His church through regular believers just like you and me. To undergird this activation, God is installing an entirely new mindset in us, a mentality founded upon the truth that nothing is impossible. In order to move in the authority given to us, this new breed of revivalists need to rearrange certain perceptions in order to operate in all that is available to us through the cross. This renewed attitude is founded upon the awareness that if God is with us, then who can be against us? You, my friend, have been set up for success. Your life is crucial to the plans of God. The dreams ingrained in your heart are resident there because God wants to use you to bring revival in your particular realm of society. The passions of your heart are significant and intimately linked to His longing and commissioning for nations to be discipled and impacted for Him. I want you to repeat after me. My life is crucial to the plans of God. My life is crucial to the plans of God. Say it again. Just say it one more time and think about it. My life is crucial to the plans of God. I want to say it again. I said it in the first session. We'll say it again. Your life is uniquely crucial to the plans of God. Crucial. Whether your dream is to be a famous actor one day, whether it is to be a preacher, whether it is to be simply the best school teacher, whether it's simply to be a mom, whatever your dreams are, I want to tell you they are crucial to the plans of God. Because God has created you. He's created you uniquely. He's created you intimately. And He wants to be your dad. And He has the most incredible plans that He wants to journey and walk with you for the rest of your life. But now how are we going to see this happen? I honestly believe it's understanding that it's a full understanding of the new covenant. What what does it mean? You see, what Banning Liebscher there was saying was it's founded upon the revelation that nothing is impossible. That's insane. Nothing is impossible, guys. That is the cry of God to us, His children, His people. Nothing is impossible for us. Nothing. No dream for you guys is too big. I want to tell you guys, no dream is too big. But if you are going to go after those dreams, you need to understand God's promise over your life. And that's why this new covenant revelation is so important. And that's why I feel to start the conference off with this revelation. God is a God of promises. God makes, he can't help but make promises. He just makes promises with anyone. Whoever is in relationship with Him, He makes a promise with him. And that's called a covenant. God's promises are covenants. You guys, I'm sure most of you know what a covenant means. In the old days, we didn't really do it when we were young, but I know the generation before us, people who were really best friends would be blood brothers. And they would cut themselves either on their hand and they would then shake hands and they would then enter into a covenant with each other that they will never, ever leave each other or forsake each other. They've got each other's backs for the rest of their lives. That is a covenant. It's an unbreakable promise that is made. And God is a God of covenants. God makes covenants throughout the Bible. And we are under the new covenant. It's called the new covenant. Jesus says in the book of Luke at the Last Supper, He takes the bread and He takes the wine and he says, He looks at the grape juice. How many of you had Milo or Coke or something now at tea, right? Can you imagine? You look at that and then, like, imagine Byron hands you that Milo and says, "This is my blood." You'd be like, "Yo, firstly, it's brown, Byron. What's going on?" Or, "You're weird, dude." But that's what Jesus does. And he's in this intimate setting with his people that He's chosen to change the world. And He then takes the wine, red wine, perfect representation of blood. And He says, "This is my blood." And then He says something profound. He says, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant. Drink this in remembrance of me." And then He takes the bread. He says, "This bread is my body broken for you. Eat it in remembrance of me." And now the disciples do this, right? The disciples, they eat of His bread. They drink of the wine. But again, we find in Scripture that it's Paul, the one who was writing all this stuff about the new covenant. It's almost like the disciples went about changing the world. Don't get me wrong, all right? But I just get this feeling God had to radically and dramatically and drastically interject, because at one point Peter was starting to say stuff like, you know what? Jesus did do everything for us, but we need to still obey the law of Moses. And do you know that in the book of Galatians, Paul even says that he rebuked Peter to his face. He had a face-to-face talk with Peter. He said, Peter, you've got it wrong. It's Jesus plus nothing. It's Jesus crucified plus nothing. And here's why. Because what Jesus did started a new covenant. That's why he said, this blood is my blood of the new covenant. And the disciples and so many of the Jews had honored the old covenant, the covenant of Moses, for so long. They couldn't shake themselves off it. They couldn't undo what Jesus came to finish. They couldn't break away from it. They kept going back under this old covenant that they were not under any longer. I want to show you a verse in the book of Hebrews. If you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews. I know scriptures come up on the board, but it's always good to look at verses. So if you do have your Bible, turn to the book of Hebrews, and we're going to look at chapter 7. You can have it on the board as well, Jace. We're going to look at chapter 7 and then chapter 8. All right, so turn to Hebrews chapter 7 first. Okay, now you may wonder, and I know, you know, for me as a youth pastor, it's really challenging sometimes, because I preach to you guys are young, and I know you got short attention spans, and I know I'm not joking. I mean, even me, I sit there listening to preachers and I'm like, come on, bro, like I know, but I'm really into what they're saying, so it's really challenging for me. Like I just wish I could just download all of this into you, and certainly what I'm saying isn't even going to transform your life. Only the revelation of what I'm saying will transform your life, right? But I feel it burning on my heart that I believe you guys as young people are positioned and poised to take over Durban. I believe guys, God has given us Durban. Kareen and I, we were blessed with the hotel room in the Royal Hotel in Durban for two nights, and our view was over the beautiful port and harbor area of Durban. That was our bedroom view, and we felt God say to us, he said, I am giving you Durban. You are my royalty. I've housed you in royalty, and I'm giving you Durban. And I really believe we as a youth, this is why we want this conference to be united, to be youth from all over different age groups. Meshach, I know you are hitting up another youth up the hill, right? You've just taken on the new responsibility of leading a youth in Wybank, is that right? In Hillcrest. Bro, when your mom told me, I was so excited for you, bro. And this is what this conference is all about. It's just getting as many youth together as possible, not just fusion, because guys, I honestly believe God has given us the youth Durban. But not only Durban, he has given us South Africa. He's given you Dubai. What's your name? Tammy. Now that's crazy. What are you talking about? Me, Dubai. Well, it's the snowball effect. When people start catching this revelation, it literally starts to grow. These people that catch this revelation, like moths to a flame, they get attracted to each other. You're going to find other people in Dubai that are on the same wavelength as you. Supernaturally, God's just going to open doors. They're going to be on the same wavelength as you. You're going to be chatting to people. And I'm telling you now, what God is doing around the world is supernatural. We are in the greatest hour in history. But I want you to understand, guys, coming back to this new covenant thing, when we understand the power of this new covenant, what Jesus has done for us, when we understand it, then we will know for sure that Durban is ours. Then we will know for sure that the nations are ours. We'll know it for sure. That's why I want to really squeeze this new covenant thing, and I haven't even got into it properly yet. Okay. So Hebrews chapter 7. For those of you that may be interested, they don't know for sure who wrote Hebrews, but I'm pretty sure it was Paul. Now, I don't worship Paul. I want you guys to know. You may say, you see, you're always about Paul instead of the disciples. The disciples walked with Jesus. You're more about Paul than you are about Jesus. No, man. I'm so about Paul because Paul reveals who Jesus is and what Jesus did. That's why I love Paul so much. Paul, in Paul's writings, no other writer reveals Jesus like Paul. He just unpacks it. And I believe this is Paul writing here in Hebrews. Because what he's doing, Hebrews are Jews. He's writing to people who, they couldn't shake off this Mosaic Moses law, the law of the Jews. They couldn't shake it off. And so Paul is writing to them saying, guys, I want you to know something. I know you think that the Ten Commandments that came from Mount Sinai, the law and all its regulations are so important, and you guys are the main oaks, that you got the law and no other nation got it. You O's are the main O's. Ah, no, you think that. But I want you to know something. What Jesus has done has taken you out from under that, and it's completely new, and it's so much more powerful. When you understand this, guys, then your societies are going to be transformed. Now look at what he says in verse 18 of Hebrews chapter 7, okay? Hebrews 7, 18. Paul says the former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless. How many preachers have you heard say that the Ten Commandments are weak and useless? How many people have, imagine you on a billboard out here, we put a billboard that said the Ten Commandments are useless. And we put underneath God. Can you imagine the controversy it would stir? You begin to understand why Jews literally threw stones at Paul. They said, but you lost it, my man. You out your cookie. You gone. This is why. He was saying things like the Ten Commandments are weak. In fact, they're not just weak, they're useless. But now, it doesn't just say the Ten Commandments. The former regulation, the system, the law system is weak and it is useless. For the law, so we know he's talking about the law made nothing perfect. And a better hope is introduced. Say after me, a better hope. A better hope. A better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. Now look at this. So the former regulation was weak and useless, but now look at chapter 8 and verse 13. Hebrews 8 verse 13, he says this. By calling this covenant, this new promise that God has made through Jesus, by calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. What is obsolete? It means finished. It means null and void. It means you go to the rugby with the Sharks versus Waratahs game played on the 3rd of June 2011 for the Currie Cup Final 2011. They go, but lack a ticket. Hope you enjoyed the game. but this is null and void. And so many people in the body of Christ today are walking around with this ticket going, I am going to please God. I am going to do what God has called me to do. I am going to perform great signs and wonders, great miracles for God, with a null and void ticket. And the spiritual realm, the supernatural realm, the gatekeepers of the supernatural realm are going, but this ticket was for last millennium. Wrong ticket. Null and void. By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear. Now, check this out. Okay, so here is the new covenant. Verse chapter 10. And verse 5. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. See, guys, this is, Unite was all about seeing Jesus. It's all about seeing Jesus in the fullness of His glory. And when we see this, we see Jesus. We see what Jesus has done. And I'm coming to it and I'm getting there. It's all about seeing what Jesus did for us. All right? Therefore, Hebrews chapter 10, verse where we, therefore, when Christ came into the world, He said, look at this. When Christ came into the world, He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. First he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them. You see, the old covenant was all about sin offerings, burnt offerings. You would offer everything for your life. God, you've called me to this. You've called me to this. And therefore, I want to please you. Therefore, I want to do this for you. Therefore, I need to sacrifice. The Christian walk is all about sacrifice. It's all about how much you are willing to lay down for Christ. And it's actually saying, sacrifice an offering you did not desire. Why? Because there was a greater offering that He did desire. Verse 9, then He said, Jesus, here I am. I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ when? Once for all. I want to tell you guys, this, a lot of you guys are going to step into discipleship training. Haha, that's quite funny because I mentioned like how you're going to be disciple nations and stuff. But a lot of you are going to enter into training in your schools. You're going to find yourself in positions of leadership in your schools, in your workplaces, in your varsities. Some of you here are going to be youth leaders, youth pastors, church leaders. You're going to start entire movements. I want to tell you guys, this is the foundation of your ministry. This is the foundation of what God has called you to, my friend. Right here. By that will, the will of Jesus, we have been made holy through the body and through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. God is pleased once and for all. God never ordained it that there would be so many offerings that would be brought before Him every day. God, I offer you this. God, I offer you this. God, I offer you this. God, I offer you that. He never ordained it. He ordained Jesus to offer once and for all so that He's always pleased. I want to tell you guys, God's in a good mood today. God is happy right now because He's pleased. He is pleased once and for all. Now look at the power of the new covenant. We go down to verse 16. This, so now we get into this covenant. This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds. I will write them on their minds. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. This is the heart of the new covenant. What it's saying is, notice that verse 16. I will put my laws in their hearts. I will write them on their minds. I want to tell you, friends, Jesus made a covenant with God on your behalf, and he signed it in his own blood. He said, I redeem them back to who they really were. I redeem them back to their former glory, their true glory. He signed it in his own blood, and he holds it out. Our job today is simply to declare this good news, that Jesus has done it all, that there is a way for them to inherit the blessings of God, to inherit the glorious love of heaven, to enter into intimate relationship with a happy and loving God. That's all our job is. And I want to tell you guys, this covenant has been signed once and for all. It will never, ever fade. It is an increasing glory. It will never fade. It will never lose its shine. It's only going to get better and better and better. I believe we are coming into a day where this new covenant is going to be even greater revealed to what Paul had a revelation of. It's an increasing glory. It's just going to get better and better and better. But now here's the heart of it. When you agree on this new covenant, the new covenant is done. Jesus signed it, finished, and clear. When you agree on it, when you believe on this new covenant, what happens is a supernatural work starts to take place where the love of God starts to fill your heart and starts to motivate you from what seems to be an unknown area. You don't know where it's coming from. It's internal. It's supernatural. It's spiritual. You can't see it, but you can feel it, and it's motivating you. You see, what that is now you have said, oh, Father, I receive the blessing of this new covenant, what you did for me through Jesus on my behalf. I see that you are pleased with me because of what Jesus did. All my sin you don't remember. You don't remember it any longer. All my lawless acts you don't remember anymore. And you placed them on Jesus. He didn't deserve them, but I don't deserve your free gift of righteousness. When you believe that, supernatural forces start to drive you internally. And this is what it's talking about. I will put my laws in their hearts. I will write my laws on their minds. You start having thoughts. You start having mind. You start having thoughts. You start having feelings in your heart that you may never have had before. All of a sudden, your dreams, the dreams that you've always had, take on a new light. What you always wanted to be, suddenly have a new spin. Friends, that's what this new covenant is all about. All of a sudden, God is on the inside driving you forward, pushing you forward. And he wants to take what you have, and he wants to bring about transformation. He wants to bring heaven to earth through you under this new covenant. You, my friend, you are under a new covenant. The old way, the former regulation that said it's by what you do, it's by how much you pray, it's anything that is by your own efforts is related to the former regulation. It's old covenant thinking. The scripture says that, in fact, it was Jesus who said that you cannot pour new wine into old wineskins. Because if you pour new wine into old wineskins, the wineskin will tear and you'll lose both. You'll lose the wineskin and the wine. And friends, we cannot mix. We cannot mix these two ways of thinking. We can't mix these two covenants. Anything that's based on your performance, how good you've done, how well you've done to bring about the blessings that God has promised you. Not just right standing with God. And that's why I'm telling you, that's why the title of this session is The New Covenant Empowers Us to Rule the World. It's not just being made right with God. It's so much more than that. I'm going to share tonight on Romans chapter 5. And Romans 5 says, through what Jesus has done, we reign in this life. You see, anything that is required, for anything that requires you to perform, anything that requires you to prove yourself in your own efforts, it's old covenant thinking. It's old covenant formula. And God wants to be motivating you from the inside. He wants you to just rest in Him. He wants you, look, I want to show you a verse very quickly. Hebrews chapter 4 says, verse 11, Hebrews 4 verse 11, if you can put that up. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. What is that talking about, James? What are you talking about? Can you guys read it with me? Just up until the word rest. Rest. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. That's a contradiction, right? You got to make an effort to enter rest. That doesn't make sense. Now here's why it's saying that. Thanks, guys. Here's why this verse is saying that. Because it goes against human nature. Humans ate of the tree of knowledge. What did we eat of in the garden? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. It goes against human nature to rest when we should be doing something. We sit, if we sit down, we sit down and we're relaxing, but there's so much work to be done. You notice that? You're like, so much work to be done. Oh my word, we just got to get going. I just want to get going now. There's so much work to be done. There's so much work to be done. Oh my, oh my. It's human nature to strive to do more. Do more. Got to do more. Got to do more. And that's why this verse is, I know it's your nature to do more and try harder, but I want you to make an effort to enter the rest that I have provided for you. Because when you enter the rest that I've provided for you, it's going to be abundantly blessed. When you are living under the open heaven of the new covenant, what you set your heart to, what you set your hands to, is going to be abundantly blessed. Like you cannot even begin to imagine. All right? Now, this is coming back to that verse, Romans chapter 4, verse 13. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be the heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. You see, all God, okay, we're going to wrap it up with this. Here we go. I've got it. Genesis chapter 12. Turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 from verses 1 to verses 4. Wrap it up with this. Here I get into a bit of the how-to. How am I going to rule the world, James? How are we as the people of God going to rule the world? We got to understand this new covenant clearly. Number one, we have to understand this new covenant clearly. You got to understand you can't mix the two. The new covenant is all about how good God is, what God has done on man's behalf. God's no longer pointing fingers anymore. Honestly, guys, I'm so tired of hearing Christians talk about how bad Lady Gaga is. I'm so tired of getting emails with a whole list of how satanic Lady Gaga is. And with the words of her new song, Judas, and how satanic it is. And she'd rather be with Judas. Flip, man, I think she's just being really philosophical. And you know what I honestly believe? I believe God is in heaven going, she's trying to figure me out. If only she would see the truth of who I am and what I am really like. And that's why when you understand the glory, the fullness of this new covenant, you're not going to stand and point and be like, oh, they're all evil and we must avoid them. No, you are going to declare who God really is. You've got their answer. What they're really looking for. And that's why I am convinced when we as the young people of God get this, I tell you, we are going to, honestly, I believe in years to come, we are going to see worldwide transformation. I really do believe it. And that's what Banning Leibsch was talking about when he said that there is a new breed rising up who believe nothing is impossible. Okay, so we're going to wrap up with this verse. I'm going to explain it. So remember, you guys all remember Romans 4:13. The promise to Abraham was not given through the law that he would be an heir of the world, but through the righteousness that is by faith. Now this promise that Paul was referring to is this one right here in Genesis chapter 12. Here it is. The Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Now that takes a step of faith, because Abraham had his family, he had his kid, or I don't know if he had kids then, but like I said, he had flocks, life was okay, and God suddenly appears to him. Can you imagine God physically manifests himself to you, in front of you, and he says, here's the thing, I want you to go to another nation, I want you to take everything you own and go. But then he goes on to say this. He says, here's what I'm going to do for you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. Notice that's all God. I will do this. I will do this. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I want to tell you, God wants to make your name great. Now that goes against our Christianese way of thinking. We believe we need to remain humble. It's not about me, it's about Him. I want to tell you, my friend, when the CEO of Apple, if he ever had to stand up and say, I want to tell you everything that I have accomplished has been through Christ in me, the hope of glory. I tell you what, his name's still great. But guess what? Everyone else realizes there was a greater force at work in that man. I want to tell you, God wants to make your name great. We all know Steve Jobs. We all know Usain Bolt. We all know Beyonce Knowles. These are famous household names. And I really believe we are entering a day when famous household names will come from camps like this. The sons and daughters of God. I really believe it. This is the new covenant. The new covenant is based on, it's not only, I want to tell you this, the new covenant is not only the covenant made with Abraham. It's even better than, but it's based on. All right. But part of it is, I will make your name great. Why? Why is he going to do all this? So that you can be a blessing. You're going to be a blessing, my friend. You're going to be a blessing to your family. You're going to be a blessing to the nations. You're going to be a blessing to your friends. Your friends are going to come to you and borrow from you. Because you've got so much money. You've got so much to give. You're going to be a blessing. Dante, you're going to be a blessing, my man. God is going to bless you so that you can be a blessing. Jaden, you too. Junior, you too. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth, all peoples, say that with me, all peoples, say it loud, say it like you believe it, all peoples. Guys, that's all peoples. That's every nation, tribe, and tongue. All peoples will be blessed through you. That is the new covenant. So Abraham left as the Lord had told him. Done. Finished. So Abraham left as the Lord had told him. That is Abraham believing what God had just said. He, think about it. He could have said, okay, God, thank you for that, but I'm not so sure. It's a bit big, eh? You're going to make money. All nations? All nations are going to be blessed through me? All peoples? Yeah, no, I think you're a hallucination. I think I had a little bit too much of those cookies, you know what I'm saying? No, that was just a crazy dream. Whew! Got to stay away from the goat cheese. No. He believed. He just says, okay. Okay, God, I'm doing it. That's it. That's what you want me to do. So, I get into how. How is the world going to change through you? What is it that you can do that is going to change the world? Well, firstly, I want to tell you, it's not an overnight thing. What matters is that God is in you. What matters is that through what Jesus did, He is in you right now, and you have everything you need for life and godliness. You have all the love of God dwelling in your heart. If you feel unloved, if you feel like you're not worthy enough, I want to tell you, you have all the answers right here. You have Him in here right now. That is the greatest miracle that you need. But second to that, worldwide transformation, the ideas that God has given you, that He is going to position you, He is going to elevate you to where He's going to make your name great, where He's going to bless all peoples through you and I. I want to tell you, steps of faith. Believing God, risking that God said it. Risking that it was God that said what you believe He said. And then, wait and see. Simple as that. I honestly believe God has called us to a life of faith. God wants us to simply rest in Him. And no matter what we see around us, Abraham lived in another nation, a strange nation. He didn't know the people around him. He didn't know the tribes around him. He didn't know who these people were. He hadn't received all the flocks yet. It was a process. And he must have woken up saying, did I really hear God? Surely I should go back and be with all my family. Did I really hear God? I want to tell you guys, God is in you. God is with you. And the ideas that you have, don't be afraid of them. And don't be afraid of stepping out, because what God is going to do through you, with those ideas, with those things that you feel in your heart, you are going to be amazed at what is going to come of them. So this is the glory of the new covenant. He is now in you. He writes His laws on your mind and on your heart. He is physically in you. You know how He writes His laws on your mind? How He writes His laws on your heart? Because He's in you. He is now in you. And when you have an idea, when you have a dream, when you realize what you want to do, I want to tell you, God's not going to lead you down the garden path. God's not going to lead you into destruction. God is a good Father. He's a good Dad. You've put your life in His hands. And watch, my friend, watch. God is going to elevate you to places of influence, places of leadership that you never thought possible. The dreams that you have in your heart are going to come to pass. Don't give up. It was unwavering faith that saw Abraham inherit the promise. The promise has been made to us. Are we going to live in the promise? Or are we going to say, not for me, God, someone else? I want to tell you, I want to be part of the generation that says, yes, God. Yes, God, I believe that this is it. This is the new covenant. It's my right to live in this blessing. It's my right to live in these blessings. And I'm going to inherit this world. I'm going to walk in the blessings that you've given me, that you've made to me. Even though I may not see it all around me happening everywhere I go, in everything I do, I know that you have promised it and it will come to pass. I want to tell you guys, don't give up on your dreams. That is what it comes down to. Don't give up on your dreams. But James, you don't understand. You don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand the opposition that I face. You don't understand how much money I need to do what I want to do. Well, you keep going for that thing. If it takes you 4 years to raise enough money, if it takes you 10 years to raise enough money, God's not in a rush. God will fast track it if you just let Him, if you just rest in Him. You see, I do believe that there is doing under the new covenant. I do believe there are works under the new covenant. But what are those works? That's what the book of James says, and I mean, really, we don't have time, and I told you that was the last verse, but we're just going to look at a verse very quickly on the board, so you don't have to turn there. A lot of people have misinterpreted this verse. The book of James says in James 2 verse 18, James 2 verse 18. A lot of people have misinterpreted this. Look at this, guys. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Kendra is a person of faith. Kendra, you have faith, but I have deeds, Kendra. Do you know that? That's what it's saying. It's saying people will say to you, you've got faith, well, I've got deeds. And so James is saying, you can't separate the two. It's not about, well, you've got faith and I've got deeds. No, you can't separate the two. It says, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. What he's saying is, I will show you I've got faith by what I do. That's what he's saying. Noah was showing the world that he had faith in God by building an ark. Do you know that? He wasn't proving that God was real. He wasn't proving that God loved him. All he was doing was showing that he believed God. That's what he was just, it was like, all he was doing was, it was an outward expression of what was already real. And I want to tell you guys, the promises of God over your life are real. If you simply step out and act on them, you will see them come to pass. That's what this verse is all about. Wow, James, you preached such promises. You've preached that God wants to favor me. You've preached that God wants to bless me. God wants to do these things. God's done so much and He wants to do so much through me. He wants to change. He wants me to rule the world. Wow. I have so much faith. Now, I'm not asking you to prove that you have faith. I'm encouraging you that you can do what you might have been a little bit afraid to do before. I'm encouraging you can do that. I'm encouraging you can step out. Because by doing so, you'll actually just be showing that you've got faith. You're not proving to anyone. You're not proving your faith. You're just showing it off. You're actually just showing that it's there. You understand? In the same way that if we had to get a really cold Pepsi from the fridge right now, water droplets would appear on the outside of that can. The water was always there. You have faith right now. The water is always here in this room. But because of the temperature of that can, the water manifested and appeared on that can. And in the same way, you've got faith right now. When you just act on it, when you just do it, you are showing that it's there. It's just manifesting. You don't, by doing those things or not doing those things, doesn't make you any more right with God. I want you to understand that. That is dealt with. You are right with God. Finished and clear. But the more you realize that, the more you realize you're right with God and what God wants to do through you, you'll be stepping out and taking risks left, right, and center. Amen. Why don't we just stand right now? And I don't know if we have some prophetic worship music or something that we can play softly in the background. And I'm just going to pray right now for all of us. But then if you feel like you just need your dreams ignited, you need your dreams confirmed even, I want to ask you to come forward in a short while, just now. I want you to come forward and we're just going to pray for those dreams to be released over you, to be revealed in a fresh way. So Father, right now we're just so thankful. We're so overwhelmed by what you have done through Jesus, through your Son Jesus. We realize that He died on our behalf